Now today, friends, we come back to the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Samuel, and we're dealing with troubled times for the nation Israel. It was a time of internal strife, civil war, after the death of Saul and Jonathan. And it was a time of great heartache and heartbreak for God's people. This is a section of the Word of God that's usually passed over. But it's given to us, I'm confident, for two reasons. To show us the family of the Lord Jesus, to give us His genealogy. And the second reason is that we're told, Paul tells us, all these things happened unto them for examples unto us for a very definite reason, and they have been given to us in order that they might minister to us in a spiritual way. And that's what we are anxious to note here. Now, we saw last time that there had been a rebellion against David. He'd been made king of the tribe of Judah. He'd moved into Hebron, just at the edge of the kingdom and in the south, and he was there. And that Abner had led a rebellion by putting a son of Saul on the throne, Ish-bosheth. But because this young king reprimanded him and rebuked him because of his position relative to taking a concubine of Saul, why, Abner then went over to David. And he made a big mistake there, because there was a man over there by the name of Joab, and he was waiting for revenge, for Abner had killed his brother. And he lured him out of Hebron, the city of refuge. If Abner had only stayed there, he'd have been safe. But he was lured out by Joab, and then Joab slew him. And we saw last time that David gave the strangest epitaph that any person could have. Died Abner as a fool died. Why? Well, he left the city of refuge. He had salvation, and he wouldn't accept it. He wouldn't receive it. And he moved out. How many people today are dying like that? God's offered a salvation. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. Now, you have to believe in Him. God loves you, but you will have to accept Christ if you're to be saved, because He goes on to say, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I think this is God's viewpoint. God says a man's a fool today that'll die without Christ. That is the position of God, not mine. I'm not saying that to you, but that's what God says to you, and I don't care who you are, because this is the position of the lost today who will not turn to Christ, and all of us are lost until we do turn to Him. Now, you will notice as we come here to this fourth chapter that this young man, Ish-bosheth, now has lost his captain, the military. And he knows he cannot maintain his kingdom against David without the military. And his captain has been murdered. And beside that, he's already gone over to David. And so what he's to do? In chapter 4, I begin reading at verse 1. And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Baanah. The name of the other was Rechab. The sons of Rimmon, a Berathite, of the children of Benjamin. For Beroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Berathites fled to Gittam, and were sojourners there until this day. That is, until the time that 2 Samuel was written. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. His nurse took him up and fled. Came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Now, that's an unusual name, But you remember it, will you? Because in a few days now, I'll be coming to Mephibosheth. And here is one of the most beautiful stories that was ever told about David. Now, you see, Mephibosheth, as long as he lived, was a constant danger to David because he had throne rights. He was the son of Jonathan. But since he was the son of Jonathan, David would never harm a hair on his head. And later on, David will go looking for members of the family of Saul and Jonathan, not to slay them, but to show kindness to them, to reveal that he actually loved them and did not hate them at all. So the thing that will happen will be just simply this, that he will finally locate Mephibosheth. And everyone expected him to slay him, but he brought that crippled boy into the palace, put him at his own table, and he ate there, and he told him, said, you'll have free board and lodging the rest of your life. And he protected this young man the rest of his life. May I say to you, this is an act on the part of David for which he should be commended. It's so easy to criticize David. And I think we need to recognize the one who criticized him the most was the Lord. The Lord judged him, friends. But David had many very wonderful traits. This was one of them. Now, in that, we'll see a great spiritual lesson. You and I have been showed kindness because of another. You see, David loved Jonathan, and it's for Jonathan's sake that he exercised kindness. You and I have been crippled by sin. He covers us with his righteousness, and because of another, because of what Christ did for us, God accepts us and receives us. What a beautiful picture we have here. I call your attention to it, because we'll be coming to it later on. But now we follow this story, and it's not a beautiful story by any means. And I'll be very candid with you. I don't care where you follow man's story. It's not a pretty story. Look at our contemporary culture. Do you see anything beautiful and fine and noble around you today? So let's not be too critical of this particular period. This was a great period of crisis. It was the transition from the kingdom of Saul to the kingdom of David. There had been civil war. There had been rebellion, you see, during this period. Now when these two underlings, who were petty officers under Abner in the army of Saul, discovered that Abner was dead, and they recognized the strength and the power of David at this particular time, they conspired to put this boy, who is a son of Saul, to death. And they made a big mistake, by the way, in doing that. And so when Ish-bosheth was in bed, why, they slipped upon him and they slew him. And it was a bloody, ugly thing. Now, they expected by doing that, that they could make peace with David and that David would actually reward them for this. And so they immediately took the head, imagine that, of this boy over to David. Well, David was not even about to accept it, friends. He would not in any way approve of that. In fact, these men had committed a murder, and they had murdered a king. And he executed them summarily for doing this dastardly deed. David now is king over the land. He exercises that authority. But yet the 10 tribes, or actually it's really the 11 tribes, because at this particular time, even the tribe of Benjamin, which later went with Judah, this tribe was the tribe out of which Saul came. They were with the tribes in the north. And so actually it was 11 tribes against one. Now those in the north recognize they no longer have any leadership. And there's no one to assume authority. And this foolish to carry on this rebellion at this time against David. And so they now attempt to make overtures for peace